So we have been looking at the longings of the human heart that God made us as people, as humans, and there's some things which if we take the time to pray, if we take the time to observe, we realize that these things are there inside of us. We talked about the longing for intimacy with God. We talked about the longing for authentic, godly community. We talked about the longing for significance. Last week, we spoke about the longing for security. Today, I want to talk about the longing for shalom, or peace. The longing for shalom, or peace. You know, when God made humans and placed us in the garden, there was shalom. There was everything that humans needed. And the word shalom means well-being. It means wholesomeness. It means completeness. It goes beyond just the English word peace. Because, you know, the English word peace can mean the absence of hostility. But, you know, this word shalom goes beyond just the absence of hostility and talks about just the very presence, really, of God being there. And so when you read Genesis, the first couple of chapters, you can actually sense that tranquility, that serenity that was there with Adam and Eve. There were four rivers that just watered the place. You can just imagine that garden that God placed Adam and Eve in. And that it was their experience and wholesomeness. And there was no issue. Issues only started to arise after Adam and Eve sinned. And God drove them out of the garden. And you see all sort of stuff coming in, including conflict between brothers, murder, and no one caring about each other. All those things came in because of sin. But before all of that, there was this shalom that was there. And deep within this human, the way we're made up, is this cry, this desire for shalom. In the West, we talk about peace. They have all these competitions, and you ask people, what do you want most? And they're going to say, world peace. You know, there's something inside of us that says that. We look around and we see all the conflict and we realize something is amiss. It's a longing inside of us. There are a couple things I'm going to read first. One's a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. He was a Catholic priest, lived in the 12th century. And at about age 20, decided to go and become a part of the priesthood. And he took that vow of poverty, live a simple life, spent a lot of time with nature and with animals. And he coined this prayer. It says, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. I know he tries to outline what he means by that. He says, where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so seek, O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand. To be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. That's a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. And he tries to outline there this idea of shalom. This idea of, Lord, let there be love among people. Let there be forgiveness, let there be faith, let there be hope, let there be light, let there be joy. All these things encapsulated in that Hebrew word, shalom. Then in 1955, Jill Miller and Cy Miller coined a song that has been made popular by many others, including Vince Gill back in 1995. And it's a song that sometimes is you hear it at Christmas time, because at Christmas time, you know, coming out of the Gospels, it talks about peace on earth. And it says, let there be peace on earth. let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace that was meant to be, with God as our Father. Brothers, all are we. Let me walk with my brother in perfect harmony. Let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let this be my solemn vow, to take each moment and live each moment with peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Let there be peace on earth, the peace it was meant to be. That's the chorus being repeated there. Then the last verse says, let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. Whatever step I take, let this be my solemn vow, to take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. One company tried to take God out of this song, and they said, let there be peace on earth, and there was such an uproar that they had to withdraw that song without and produce the right one, with God as our Father, brothers all are we. In other words, the true peace, true shalom, cannot be experienced without God. You know, we can, you know, we thank God for the absence of conflict. We thank God for what we see happening between North Korea and the rest of the world. And we all know that you can go through different stages, from having an outright war to having a cold war. And then what you can have is what I call a cold peace. It's a fragile peace. You know, it's watching each other. And what is not true, genuine peace that we embrace each other and we're walking together. That's what we have with us and Russia. It's a cold peace. And anytime, no, things can flip one way or the other. But God wants us to live with his shalom and to share his shalom wherever we go. So part of shalom is, you can see the consequence of human sin in Genesis 3, verses 18 and 19. This is what God said to humans. It says, concerning the earth, it will produce thistles for you. Let me read from what I have here. I'm going to read from verse 17 of Genesis 3. It says, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Curse is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the earth, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And so the earth was cursed because of human sin. And Romans talks about the earth groaning and travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God, because all of this happened because of us. And we lost out on some of the shalom that God wanted us to have. And so God said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow now you're going to eat bread. And before that, God said to him, listen, all the trees are there, just eat. I've already provided for your food, just eat. And God came back to Noah and said to him, listen, just eat, but you have to hunt for the animals in order to get your meat. But you're going to have to work. And there's nothing wrong with work. Work is good, but there is a way in which God wants us to exist where work becomes something that we actually like. It's pleasurable. But for most people today, work is, I think it was Karl Marx who calls it, it's like a type of mortification. And so you meet people. I met someone in the hallway at OTC this week. On Friday, I met them and they were like, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. You know, because when you have to work, then you can experience, really can enjoy the things around you. You can experience part of God's shalom. Although we should be able to experience it also on the job. But somehow, for many of us, work restricts us and it takes so much of our time. And we have to do it because what? We have to eat. By the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. I have to pay some bills. But when you enter into God's shalom, you realize that, you know what? All that is taken care of. All of that is provided for me, that even though he says that we should work, I'm not working just to make ends meet, but my job becomes part of my ministry. And so I can bring God's shalom and God's presence even into the job environment. And we've come to realize that true shalom is really independent of our circumstances. That you and I, we have been called to walk with God's peace. And to share God's peace, because I've encountered the Father who gives us peace. He's called the God of all peace, We have encountered Christ, who's called the Prince of Peace. We have read Isaiah 9, which tells us that of the increase of his kingdom of peace, there shall be no end. And so we realize that peace has invaded this world, and you and I, who are part of the kingdom of God, we are walking that peace. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said to those around him, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a way in which we can rest, where we experience God's peace. We were talking about this last Wednesday night in our Bible study. And the question we were asked was, since God rested from his work on the seventh day, what does that really mean? Because God doesn't need to rest. He's God. But it became really as a pattern for all of us to realize that God wants us to cease from our own striving and to rest in him. And that rest helps us to be restored. And so that pattern, when he says about the Sabbath day, he wants us to realize that in his presence we can experience a restoration internally, spiritually. And physically, when we rest from other things, we also are restored. And so this idea of rest and peace goes together. And we've been called to function from that place and to live like that. Gideon was scared because of the Midianites, and he was the least of his family, and he was hiding in the cave and doing his stuff when the angel appeared to him. And out of that encounter, Gideon got a revelation of God. And that revelation is Jehovah Shalom. He realized that he had seen God and still lived, and that God was going to use him now to do something. And he built an altar and called it Jehovah Shalom. The Lord who is my peace. The Lord who is my wholeness, my completeness, the one who satisfies everything that I need. That's a revelation that all of us have and need to increase in. That God is our shalom. And that no circumstance that comes our way, that God is not sufficient to meet the need. Jesus said that peace, this is John 14, 27. He comes to the disciples and he releases peace to them. And he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. And so Christ was acknowledging in the world you have this external lack of conflict that people think is peace. And he's saying, I'm giving you something different. I'm giving you something that starts from the inside out. That no matter what the circumstances are out there, you're walking in God's shalom. And from that place, you can actually change the environment around you. And so he comes to them in John 20, and they're hiding in that upper room, scared. And they have good reasons to be scared. I mean, they just crucified their leader, and they're looking for us. So they have good reasons to be scared. And he comes through the walls. It says, John 20, verse 19, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And with this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Because peace of God is in the realm of the Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so we thank God that peace has been brought, but we need to see this whole area, every sphere of our lives. Let me take a step back. Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and earth was without form and void. Really, it was chaos. And the Spirit of the Lord was moving upon the face of the water. And then God spoke, and God kept on speaking. And as God spoke, out of chaos came order, came alignment, came shalom. You realize that? That out of all this chaos, when God speaks, there's something that happens. There's something that comes along with God's word, which is God's shalom. And so you and I, you've experienced it. You're concerned about something, and then God speaks. And with that word comes the peace of God. And you can hold on to that until you see the fulfillment of the word. And so that's why Jesus could say, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because that proceeding word causes us to have this peace of God, the shalom of God, and that upon that we can have our faith in God, and we see miracles occur. We see circumstances align themselves with the word of God. That's why when Jesus was in that boat and he was sleeping, you remember? And the disciples were panicking. He spoke to the waves. And what did he say? Peace be still. He spoke peace in the chaotic environment and saw a change occur. He released shalom to bring about a difference in the circumstances. How much time do we have? I want to read Psalm 85 and verses, verse 8. The psalmist says, I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people. His saints, do and let them return to folly. Psalm 46, a psalm that many Christians know, verse 1, starts out by saying that God is a very present help in time of trouble. In other words, and he goes on to talk about the nations and the uproar and all sort of stuff, earthquake and stuff. And towards the end of that psalm, verse 9, it says, he makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so the psalmist is causing us to realize that there's a place where we just sit back, quote unquote, and just relax. Be still and realize that, you know what? God is God, and he's going to cause his shalom to invade all different circumstances and call him into alignment with his will and his purposes. And so you and I can just, rather than getting anxious and concerned and trying to figure it out, we'll just be still. Rest in the Lord and know that he's God. It's part of the blessing that God releases upon his people. It's his peace, it's his shalom. In a couple of the Psalms, it actually ends by the psalmist saying, let there be peace upon Israel. Psalm 125 verse 5 says this, and Psalm 128, I think, also says that. It's like today when our political leaders, our president, when he ends his speech, will always say, what's that? basically, we declare a blessing upon the United States. Blessed be the United States of America. For the Jews, it was, let there be the peace upon Israel. Let there be God's shalom upon Israel. It was part of their blessing. So even in Numbers, when the priests are supposed to bless the people, they end up by saying, let the light of his countenance come upon you and let you receive his shalom. It's God's will for us to walk in his shalom, to walk in his peace, and to impact our circumstances because we're walking in that shalom. And it makes a world of a difference. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, you watchmen, lift up your voices together. They shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together. Your ruins, O Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. And so, one of the themes that run through the book of Revelation is this theme of God's shalom. That's why it starts out in Isaiah 9, talking about the Prince of Peace and the kingdom of an increase of this kingdom of peace. And here it comes into 52 and it talks about how lovely are the mountains, they are the feet of the one who brings this good news. And they're proclaiming God's shalom. He's proclaiming an era where the things are changing and things are aligning themselves with the will and purposes of God. And he's declaring to them that your God reigns. Despite what you see, he's saying to his people who are in bondage, who are in exile, your God still reigns. Your God's about to bring about a change in your circumstance. Yes, you're in exile, but your exile has come to an end, and I'm bringing you out of that condition. And so he says to them, burst forth into joy. Start to rejoice. You can't keep quiet when you realize that God has broken through and he still rules, he still reigns, and he's about to change circumstances. He's about to speak and cause some stuff to align themselves with his will and his purposes. It's God's shalom. It's God's peace. Isaiah 53 says, he was pierced. Isaiah 53 verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And so Christ died. He was beaten. His flesh was torn from his body. So that you and I can walk in God's shalom. So that you can and I can expect to see God intervene in every circumstance. All of these relationships, all of these health issues, all of these financial circumstances, whatever it might be, to see God's peace, God's completeness, God's will established in every area of our lives. That's why he went through all of that beating. He could have just gone straight to the cross and died. That would have been enough for our sins to be forgiven. But he was beaten, he was bruised, his flesh was torn from his body so that you and I can walk in God's shalom. And so the peace of God really flows out of his reign, out of his kingdom. And we start to experience that peace when we come to know the Father. That's what Romans 5 says. It's the good news of the kingdom of God. Paul, in talking about the armor of God, talks about having our feet shed with preparation of the gospel of peace. So we're coming and we're declaring to the world that, listen, the peace you're looking for can only really be found in Jesus Christ. Everything else that you have is just a cold peace. It's just waiting for conflict to break out. But when you walk in the shalom of God, you're all right. And so it's the good news of the gospel of peace, talking about the Prince of Peace who rules and reigns, talking about a kingdom in which there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, irrespective of the external circumstances. It's amazing. I want to read Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Verse 14. And it will be said, build up, prepare the road. Remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. And so God is about to do some stuff, and God says, listen, I'm this holy God who's out there, but I also come and I live with the one who has this humility of heart, who's contrite, who's looking to me, who's dependent upon me. I come and I live with such a one. Verse 18 of Isaiah 57 says, I've seen his ways, but I will heal him. I'll guide him and restore comfort to him, creating praise on the lips of the mourners in Israel. Peace. Peace. to those far and near, says the Lord, I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. No peace. There's no inner peace. There's nothing that they can lay hold of. They can have this cold stuff out there, that the absence of conflict for the time being, but there's no true peace. But for the one who's contrite and lowly in heart, God says, I come to dwell with that one. And with that one, I come to bring peace. With that one, I come out of my peace to bring restoration. With that one out of my peace, I come to heal him. Because the healing is part of that shalom of God. Whether it be physical, mental, emotional, relational, wherever healing is needed, the shalom of God is present to bring it about. And so the Lord says, back to verse 18 of Isaiah, verse 19 of Isaiah 57. Verse 19 says, creating praise on the lips of the mourners in Israel. Peace, peace to those who are far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. Because many of us know that the lack of healing creates all sort of turmoil, all sort of anxiety, all sort of worry, no matter what it is, whether it be a relationship, whether it be your finances, whether it be your health, whether it be some emotional stuff that affects you. And God says, I'm coming as shalom to deal with every one of those circumstances. It's already paid for. It's yours. It's mine. We need to just lay hold of it and walk with it. God knows that we need it. He knows we're made with this longing for it. So he says, I provided for you. Take hold of it and walk in it. But for the wicked, this is not part of the provision for them. They need to come through first by be reconciled with the Father. And so the wicked will always be crying out for peace. But the believer can be saying, let me explain to you this peace of God that I'm walking in, that I'm living in. It impacts every area of my life. It's more than just inner tranquility. It might start there, but it impacts everything that relates to me. In Isaiah 55, the Lord talks about his word. Verse 55, verse 11 says, So is my word that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will break into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. And so God is saying he's going to lead for these people with joy and with peace. And things are going to change. Where there was thorns, comes up a pine tree. Things change. Because the peace of God invades everything that relates to us and transforms it. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. And that's why when he sent us the disciples in twos, he said to them, whenever you go, let your greeting of peace come upon that house. And if there's a person of peace there, they'll receive it. If not, take it back. In other words, because we are recipients of that peace, and we're walking with shalom, wherever we go and we speak God's word, things change. And if people don't want it to change, take it back. You can live in your confusion, live in your problems. Oh, help us, Lord. Man, the time is going by so fast. I'm just going to share one more scripture. You already have the outline there. You don't need me to. Well, you know, the God of all peace is going to soon crush Satan under our feet. That's Romans. So there are circumstances where the enemy looks like he's raising up his head. I'm going to say, devil, you don't understand this. You only have a short time. And the God of all peace, the one who is working in me and through me, is about to crush everything that the enemy has put before me. I want to read 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 16. I marvel at the scripture. I really do. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 16. This is Paul writing to the Thessalonians. And he says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all." This is Paul praying for the church and he's saying, may the Lord of all peace give you peace at all times and in every way. In other words, this peace is not just for me to be able to sleep at night, but in every way, in every circumstance, I need to see the shalom of God at work. And Paul is praying for the church that they'd walk in this type of experience with God. At all times and in every way, every circumstance, there's a shalom of God. Christ didn't suffer just for me to have my mind being okay. It's more than that. That's a big thing in our time. I know that, to have our mind being okay. But we need to see the circumstances also align themselves. To see the shalom of God, the peace of God. And so we need to be praying for ourselves. We need to be praying for each other. The same prayer that Paul has here. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way, in every circumstance, in every situation. May you see them align themselves with the will of God. May you see the kingdom of God impact every circumstance that pertains to you. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. I put there in the notes some steps to growing in God's peace. We know it's also a fruit of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It's something we can grow in. It's not as if you reach just one level and you stay there. No, it's a thing we can grow in because we're getting closer and closer to the Lord. We're experiencing more and more of who God is. He himself is actually peace. That's why I call him Jehovah Shalom. It's actually who he is. And that's why Paul can say, you know, not to be anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this supernatural peace which keeps our minds will also guard our hearts. And so we can go through life experiencing the peace of God and dispensing the peace of God, and the world doesn't understand who you are. And they ask you, what on earth is happening? And now you can explain to them that, listen, I have the Prince of Peace. I'm walking and living with the Prince of Peace. And therefore, it changes my circumstances. Sometimes God speaks about a peace and it impacts us and we become still like in the Psalms. And sometimes he speaks to the circumstances and causes the chaos to stop and align itself with God's will and God's purposes. And so in Isaiah 26, the prophet says, the Lord will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on him. In other words, the one who puts his trust and all of his hope in the Lord. That's the one that God keeps in perfect peace. Because my hope and my trust is in the Lord. It's not in the individual. If you put your hope and your trust in people, I'm sorry for you. But you're not going to experience peace for too long. All those people who put all their hopes and trust in politicians, they're humans. So sooner or later, they're going to do some stuff that you don't like. And you're going to disturb your peace. But if you put all of your hope and your trust in the Lord, you can rest secure because God is at work and he's going to fulfill his will and his purposes. And that's why the psalmist says that some trust in chariots. In other words, human abilities and whatever humans can do. And some trust in horses. But the psalmist declares that we are going to believe in the name of the Lord. We're going to trust in the name of the Lord. Because those who trust in chariots and horses, it says, they are brought down and they are fallen. But those who put their trust in the Lord, they stand upright. Because God is with them and God is at work in them and through them and changing circumstances and leading them forth. The longing for peace. The longing for shalom in every area of our lives. Let us stand this morning. My encouragement to us is don't limit God. Don't limit God's shalom just to, you know, one thing here, one thing there. But to say, well, who knows, this is how life is. If there's turmoil in your family, there's shalom that God wants to bring into your family. If there's turmoil between your kids, I believe there's a shalom that God wants to bring into that circumstance. If there's turmoil at work, I believe there's a shalom that God wants to bring about a change. If there's turmoil in your own health, there's a word that God wants to speak to bring healing and deliverance. If there's some stuff from the past that's still bothering you, God wants to bring about a change in that circumstance. If you can't sleep at night, there's a word of peace that God wants to speak into your life. He is Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the God of all peace. Let's just bow our heads this morning. Maybe there's somebody in this house this morning that has walked away from the Lord, and you're saying, Joe Campbell, I want to recommit myself to the Lord this morning, to the Prince of Peace. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves this morning? And I know we've already prayed for different circumstances, but perhaps there's still somebody here who's saying, Joe Campbell, there's a circumstance that I really need to see God's shalom being established in that circumstance. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're standing. See your hand there. Anybody else? You still need to see God's shalom. Anybody else? Again, we thank you that Jesus Christ is indeed the Prince of Peace. Lord, we thank you, God, of the increase of your kingdom of peace. There shall be no end. Lord, that's not just only numerically, but that's also in our own personal lives. Lord, we thank you, God, in your kingdom. It's all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Father, you have called us to live this life of shalom. This life, oh God, we were walking with the Prince of Peace. And we're seeing your shalom being established inside of us, but also externally to us. And so, Lord, we magnify you this morning. Lord, we give you honor, we give you glory, we give you praise, oh God. Because you are such a good God to us. You're doing more than we could ever ask or think, oh God, in us and through us. And so, Father, we give you praise, we give you honor. And Lord, as we go through this week, I pray, oh God, that as circumstances come before us, that Father might cause, oh God, your word to arise in us, that we might speak, oh God, into those circumstances and see them align themselves with the will of God. See the shalom of God being established, oh God. And so, Lord, we give you praise and honor. Lord, may your spirit continue to rest upon us and lead us. May your spirit continue, oh God, to commune and fellowship with us. May we become more sensitive to your presence. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, and amen.